I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
To save, it's easy at Kroger.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jeff Calkins Show.
It's my great pleasure to bring in Phil Steele, ESPN College Football Insider, of course, publisher of Phil Steele's College Football Preview. The 2019 edition is available now. It can get you through until college football begins. You can follow him on Twitter at PhilSteele042. He joins me now. Phil, how are you?
You know, I am doing great, Jeff. How about you today?
I'm fantastic. Wonderful to have you on. You've got Memphis going to the Cotton Bowl. What do you think of Memphis?
Well, I'm impressed with what Memphis has coming back. Would have liked it if a couple of the key players like Pollard and Henderson were still around, but still, Brady White's back. I think it'd be a better QB, an even better QB this year than he was last year. Patrick Taylor can be dangerous at the running back spot. Good receivers and Pop Williams and Coxie. And you look at the defense. I think the defense is going to be an underrated unit coming into the season. 8 starters back. I think they're going to be much improved on that side of the ball. The thing I really love about Memphis this year is a schedule. I rated number 111 in the country. The key games this year, probably home against Mississippi in the opener, and then at Houston and at USF later in the year. Now, if they can win those three games, they've got the potential to run the table. We've seen what Memphis can do against UCF. They pretty much led both games last year big and ended up losing them both. I think Memphis has that potential to be the top Group of Five team. And for the record, I don't think any Group of Five team runs the table this year. So even if Memphis was to slip up once, they'd still have a chance to finish number one, provided they finally win the American Conference. They haven't won a conference title outright since 1969.
Who, by the way, should Memphis fans be worried about? If you were going to stipulate that Memphis has a great season, they're going to be in the running for that. We'll stipulate that for the record, that they're going to be in the running for the last bid to the New Year's Six game. What other Group of Five teams are potential for that slot?
Well, naturally, UCF. And UCF actually this year has a little bit tougher schedule than last year, so if they get through it, I think UCF would be a no-brainer to get there, and they have knocked off Memphis in both right. The title games each of the last 2 years. Florida Atlantic could enter that conversation. They're a team that I think is going to surprise out of CUSA this year. I've got some pretty talented players. And then the other three to round out, Boise State out of the Mountain West, Cincinnati, which could be a surprise over there in the East. They get that big game against UCF at home, and I really like the job that Luke Fickell's doing. And then App State. App State has just got a lot of talent coming back, and they could absolutely dominate in the Sun Belt, much like they did last year.
Memphis opens with Ole Miss. What do you make of that game?
Right now, I've got Memphis a slight favorite. I love the fact that they are extremely tough at home. Under Norvell, they're 16-4 at home. I remember the game a couple years ago where they knocked off UCLA at home. So they're going to be fired up for this one. Of course, Ole Miss will have a lot of fans there. But I think Memphis a little more experienced than Mississippi is coming into the year. Mississippi's got a first-time starting quarterback, which is a plus for Memphis as well. So with the home field edge, I've got Memphis a slight favorite in that game.
And last Memphis question, then I'm going to move on to some other local teams. Advanced Metrics love Memphis, and they love Brady White's numbers. He is a somewhat controversial figure in Memphis because he doesn't push the ball deep particularly. In some big moments, he didn't deliver. I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserved for what he put up last year. But still, he did have some limitations. What do you make of Brady White?
Yeah, NFL-wise, if I'm looking, I'd like to see a little more arm strength. Put him up there as one of the top quarterbacks coming out. But college football-wise and in this offense, I think he can be a good fit. As you mentioned, there were moments last year where you're like, I would have liked to have seen Brady get a little more out of the offense. But he's now a junior. He's been here, and I think he'll have a fine college season.
All right, Ole Miss changes a foot there. They got two new coordinators, Rich Rodriguez, Mike McIntyre. But they lose 4 top 100 draft picks and a QB who was productive. How do you balance what they lost in talent with what they may have gained in their offensive and defensive coordinators?
Yeah, I'm talking to Coach Luke this year. They are finally up to their scholarship limit, which is a big plus. They're off the bowl ban, which is a big plus. And I think bringing in Rich Rodriguez and Mike McIntyre is tremendous. Those, both those guys were the Pac-12 Coach of the Year in the most recent year. So two great minds coming in there on those sides of the ball. McIntyre inherits guys like Benito Jones, Coat Knee, and Tisdale up front. They're actually going to have one of the better defensive lines in college football. Solid linebacking core. And remember, Ole Miss used to have a very tough defense. Hasn't really been that way the last couple of years. I think they're going to be a much better defense this year. And offensively, I think Matt Corral can come in and do well. He's was my number three rated quarterback coming out of high school. You know, you look at Tamu last year, I had bigger expectations. With that receiving core he was thrown to, I expected bigger numbers than 19 touchdown passes. I think Corral can get the ball down the field. And he's got some weapons like Elijah Moore and Cooley at tight end. The offensive line looks solid. I've still got Ole Miss middle of the pack in the West. The West is an extremely tough division, but I do have them as my number 15 most improved team in the country, so I'm expecting them to get to a bowl game.
Talking to Phil Steele, you can get his College Football Preview 2019 edition is available now on Twitter, by the way, at PhilSteele042. Speaking of the West, Arkansas is still adjusting to the new system. They're going to have a new QB and some new playmakers. What's year two for Chad Morris look like?
You know, I had higher expectations for Arkansas last year than they sort of let me down a little bit going 2-10 as it was, and they blew that big game against Colorado State where they had a huge lead, big lead, I should have said. And then, of course, the Ole Miss game, they blew that one late, but they had lost their quarterback and top two running backs in the game due to injury. This year, when I look at Arkansas, you know, last year, talking to Coach Morris, he wasn't wild about the receivers he inherited and also their offensive line. You know, Brett Bielema wanted big, physical offensive linemen. Well, Chad Morris' system calls for more mobile offensive linemen. He had to slim those guys down last year, learn new schemes blocking the ball, and what did it result in? A 2-10 season. Now it's the second year for the offensive line. They only had 8 scholarship OLs last year, so they're better depth, now adjusted to the system, players he wants in place. Cheyenne O'Grady at the top-notch tight end. Trey Knox is a guy that's going to come in and star as a true frosh. He's going to give him the receiving type of player that Chad Morris covets. And then you look at the quarterback battle. Nick Starkle's got the physical tools. Ben Hicks knows the offense inside and out, so I think no matter who they choose, they'll be in good shape there. Defensively, John Chavis, the Chiefs' defense last year, underachieved a little bit. I think they'll be better this year. Can Arkansas get to a bowl game? I've got them favored in 4 games this year, and they could very well if they get an upset or two, but I've just left them just outside my most improved.
Mississippi State loses 3 first-rounders and their QB. What do you think of Mississippi State this year?
Like the fact that Tommy Stevens is coming over from Penn State. That's a big plus. He knows Joe Moorhead's offense inside and out. Every year I talk to Coach Franklin at Penn State with McSorley there. He would say, hey, Phil, it's 1 and 1A. I'm telling you, I have full confidence in Tommy Stevens. He can come in and start for us if something happens to McSorley. He's almost just as good as McSorley. So I think Tommy Stevens could come in and give Joe Moorhead what he lacked last year, which was a passing game. They really had hurt him, crippled him a little bit. They've got Kyle Hill to hand off to. They've got some dangerous receivers like Adrian Mitchell, and the offensive line looks solid. Now, defensively, they lose a whole lot from last year, and the defensive line is going to be the big time question mark because the linebacking core is solid, the DBs are solid. I think Moorhead gets enough done this year. I'm not going to put them up there in the same level of Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M, and Alabama, but I think Mississippi State's going to have probably as good a year as last year, even though they lose that outstanding defensive line.
Tennessee, just like Ole Miss, 2 new coordinators. What do you expect of Tennessee?
I got Tennessee going to a bowl game and potentially up to maybe even 8 wins this year. They play a tough schedule, 7 toughest in this country. But Jeremy Pruitt's brought in 2 good recruiting classes and given them an upgrade in talent. You look at them defensively, they've got plenty of players coming back. The defensive line may be the biggest question mark, but the back 7's outstanding, with the secondary being the strength of the defense. Garantano at QB is a big plus. The offensive line, they bring in 2 true freshmen at tackle. And I think these 2 are going to be 3-year fixtures fixtures at the tackle position in Darnell Wright and Wayne Morris. That's going to be a plus because Tennessee's offensive line was a weakness last year. You look at their schedule, I can tell you I've got them favored in 8 games. So I'm looking for them to go from 5 to 8 wins, and they are my number 7 most improved team in the country.
All right, and then finally, just looking at the SEC generally, is there separation with Alabama and the rest of the conference as there has been, or is that starting to disappear? And what do you make of the Clemson-Alabama burgeoning, I guess it formally is a rivalry now. Who do you have as number 1?
Okay, you know, with the SEC, let's go back to the SEC title game last year. Georgia led that thing 28-14 in the second half. So that shows that any team out there can indeed beat Alabama. I think it's tighter than what it used to be, but Alabama is still my pick to win the SEC, and I think Alabama's got a better defense this year. Plus, they got that 44-16 chip on their shoulder. And Alabama and Clemson's like splitting hairs, two beauty queens out there. Which one do you pick? But I actually went with Alabama. Number one, the offenses are almost identical. The defenses, I give a slight edge to Bama. Special teams, I give the edge to Bama. And then chip on shoulder, I'm going to go with Alabama. I think they entered the playoff last year with everybody blowing smoke up their butts about being the greatest team of all time. And now they got 44-16 sitting on their shoulders. So I think we see a different Alabama when playoff time rolls around.
He's Phil Steele. His college football preview is available now. You can follow him on Twitter at PhilSteele042. Thank you, Phil.
Coming up next on The Six.
I kind of like the Kyrie Irving Kevin Durant package deal to Brooklyn, which would, you know, Kevin Durant's not in the mix next season anyway, but it would take a major player out of the West. They would shake things up, and then you would get the added humor of those two guys not going to the Knicks, which would be pretty great.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Saturday, July 13th, Duncan Williams Investment Bankers presents the Doobie Brothers live at the Garden. Don't miss this fantastic summer show at the Memphis Botanic Garden. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. For more info, visit liveatthegarden.com. Also presented by FedEx, True Green, Infinity of Memphis, Regions Bank, Radiance, Pro Show, Mahaffey, and PDR.
Learning how to kayak in a bay off the Oregon coast and almost getting capsized by a 40-ton whale. Check. Whatever you're getting ready for, come into Supercuts. Supercuts stylists pay attention to every detail so you get the haircut you want. And with our signature hot towel finish, you'll walk out feeling clean, sharp, and not just ready, but super ready. Supercuts.
Stay ready to go all summer long.
Get your gun, Nelly, and saddle up Penelope as Western Trading Days at Sunrise Buick GMC. Old-time trading prices on over 800 new Buicks and GMCs, and the Sunrise Used Car Corral has over 150 in stock. Sunrise has rustled up a good-looking herd of cars and trucks under $99.95. Ranch managers have been told to cut prices to the bone. If you're a good person with bad credit, SunriseMemphis.com will help you get your brand on one of these little fillies. Free hot dogs and Cokes at the Chuck Wagon. Western Trading Days, 385 in Houston, Levy, and Collierville. Cars cost less at Sunrise, partner.
Humphrey Folk traveled all over the country as a real estate developer, and when he realized his hometown of Memphis didn't have a remarkable steakhouse like other cities did, he took a chance and opened the first prime steakhouse in Memphis, which everyone now knows as Folk's Folly. Worth noting, he also wanted to make sure people could enjoy those Folk's Folly favorites at home, so he created the market now known as Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. So while you're making plans for the 4th of July, you may just be thinking of hot dogs and fireworks, but it's the perfect time to mix things up. If you really want to do the holiday right, go with prime, hand-cut steaks from Memphis's original steakhouse. It's not a chain, and you really can't get anything like it anywhere else in town. Make your cookout a declaration of independence. Come into Humphrey's and get steaks, crab legs, freshly ground sirloin, homemade pimento cheese, and so much more that will take your 4th to the next level. So stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall, right next to Folk's Folly, or online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend. That website again, go check it out, humphreysmemphis.com.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Well, that is obviously Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, in honor of NBA Free Agency Anticipation Week.
I've urged people to read your piece, if they haven't already, on Grizzlies Free Agency. Someone asked me right off the bat to ask you, evidently there was a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer where they were talking about Tobias Harris again, and someone, the story there that ran yesterday or today or whenever, I lose track, mentioned the Grizzlies as a possible suitor again. This is the second time I don't know who mentioned it the first time around.
It was Shams Charania, a piece that mentioned it the first time.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything to that? How would it work, et cetera?
Well, what I would wonder is if there's something to it or if that's getting repeated by people only because it was in a Shams piece 2 months ago, right?
Right.
I wrote about it at the time when he mentioned it. It seemed odd when he mentioned it. At the time, I thought, A, that was extremely unlikely to happen. But B, if it did happen, like the thing that made the most sense once upon a time was a Mike Conley. Sign and trade of Tobias Harris to the Grizzlies for Mike Conley, who I think would have been a great fit in Philly. That's obviously no longer going to happen. And so at this point, for the Grizzlies to free up the cap space needed to just sign Tobias Harris would require them to, like, just strip everything down, right? Like, Jonas Valanciunas is gone, and DeLon Wright is gone, and all the non-guaranteed guys are gone, and then you lose all of your exceptions, including your trade exception. I just don't think they want to do that. And so to sign him outright, I think, is not tenable. It's possible, but not really tenable. And so to trade for him and to do a sign-in trade, I mean, you could, you know, depending on the number, if he wants to come down below a max to, like, you know, a number that fits to that trade exception, in theory, you can do that. You could send them expiring contracts, you know, Chandler Parsons and other stuff. But, like, why are they
doing that?
Trading him for expiring contracts? Right. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
I just don't, you know, I don't want to say, like, it can't happen because there are many ways it could happen technically, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And so I maybe I'll be shocked, but I can't take that seriously because I can't see the logic in it for both teams.
All right. Well, yesterday we focused mostly on Grizzlies free agency. So today I will focus on free agency writ large. In terms of the major pieces, have you figured out what you would like to happen besides them all to go east?
Has there been? I have to ask you. This is not the best radio, but I just came out of an interview I did. So, has there been any news this morning that I missed?
I don't think there's been any news this morning that you missed.
Okay.
No.
I'd like to see. You know, with Kawhi Leonard, like, I can sort of go either way as long as it's not the Lakers. But I would rather he stay in Toronto and, like, let's run that back and defend the title. So I'd like to see that. I kind of like the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant package deal to Brooklyn. Which would, you know, Kevin Durant's not in the mix next season anyway, but it would take a major player out of the West. It would shake things up, and then you would get the added humor of those two guys not going to the Knicks, which would be pretty great.
Yeah.
So I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of Kemba Walker. There's a report yesterday about Boston being interested in Kemba Walker.
Yep.
I'm in favor of that. Let's keep him in the East. But let's make Boston more interesting. And so I would root for instead of him, you know, say going to the Lakers or going to the Clippers or going to the Mavs, which are some of the other teams that are possible. And so am I missing anybody in terms of the
I
just didn't play Thompson staying in Golden State. So I'm not going to wish anything about that because I just do best.
Where do you want Jimmy Butler to go? There's the reports that Jimmy Butler could be bound for Houston.
I'm so bored with Houston. In all ways, on the court, off the court, the whole thing, I'm bored with the Houston Rockets. I would just assume Jimmy Butler stay in Philly where, you know, he sort of proved during the playoffs that, you know, when Joel Embiid's the best player on that team, but when it's fourth quarter of a playoff game, the ball is in the hands of a perimeter player, and he was the guy the ball was in the hands of, not Ben Simmons, and I don't think that'll change. I know Jimmy Butler is a high-maintenance individual, to say the least, but I think he's really good, and I think I wouldn't give him a 5-year max. I don't think anyone else would either, and so I would try to bring it down lower. But if I were Philly, I'd want to bring him back. If I'm Jimmy Butler, I think that's a pretty good place to be. So I just assume they stay together there.
To me, what's interesting is that all these teams, like, there's opportunity. We talk about all the opportunity, but there's also incredible dilemmas. Start with Milwaukee, for example. They have three guys who are going to be free agents.
They actually have maybe five, but there's three who matter more than the other two, yeah.
And they're going to be a taxpayer if they bring them all back, right? I mean,
but to me, I've never been an advocate for paying the tax if you're not, like, you know, competing for a title, but they're competing for a title. And so to me, they should be willing to be a taxpayer.
Right.
Now, I think it's reasonable to say we're not going to be a taxpayer the level you fall to what's called the repeater tax in the NBA, where the penalties like increase exponentially. I think it's reasonable for them to say, like, hey, no one should want to do that, and we're in Milwaukee, and we just can't do that. But for this season, go into the tax a little bit and take your shot.
Particularly when Giannis is coming up. Like, if you're going to let Chris Middleton walk, what the hell is Giannis going to think, right? He's going to say, I want no part of this. Okay, but
no, this is the year. You got to think that we're coming out of the East. We can win a title. You got to think about winning a title right now if you're Milwaukee. You just got to do it.
Does that include Brogdon's a restricted, he could get a $20 million offer? Does that include that? Like, do you do that?
Probably. I mean, I think let's see what the actual situation is. You deal with the situation that's in front of you. But in theory, I would be looking to bring back Middleton, Brogdon, and Brooke Lopez if I can. And I would even try to bring back George Hill if I could. I'm letting Nikola Mirotić walk. I don't think they need him. I mean, he wasn't even in the rotation in the playoffs. So they've already got four man Nikola Mirotić and Ersan Ilyasova, and so that seems like, you know, not really worth it. But the other four guys, I would try to bring them back, all of them back if I could.
Okay, another dilemma. We go to the Sixers. They've got J.J. Redick. They've got Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler may say, listen, I'm going to walk if you don't sign and trade me to Houston or somewhere else. Do you cave to that threat? They got Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons is coming up for his max.
If the Butler choice is legitimately sign and trade him or let him walk, then you sign and trade him if that's better for you than letting him walk. I mean, it's not, you got to look at both situations and say, what's the return in a sign and trade? And what is the alternate scenario if he walks? And I suspect that if they game that out, they'll find that the return on a sign and trade helps them more than what they can do if he walks. And so, but, you know, you game out all those situations, and you take whichever path games out the best. And I haven't put the work into that I would hope the Philadelphia front office has. But my assumption at a glance is that bringing him back is your best option. But if that's not on the table, then working with him on a sign and trade is better than letting him walk for nothing.
Kemba Walker and Charlotte. You can bring back Kemba Walker, and you're still not going to be a very good team. You're going to be paying him $180 million or something, but you didn't trade him at the deadline. What do you do with Kemba Walker?
Charlotte's in a bad spot either way. Charlotte is an offseason loser before free agency even starts. Because if they bring him back, what it costs to bring him back, you're going to be paying the tax for a team that's probably not even a playoff team, much less not even a contender. And if you let him walk, like, you can't really replace him, and you're still stuck with all these bad contracts, and you're like, you're terrible. Maybe you get lucky a year from now in the lottery, but like, you're starting from zero unless you think Miles Bridges is going to be a superstar. And so I think Charlotte's just, there's no good path for Charlotte. I would not max out Kemba Walker. I just think the idea of being a luxury tax team when you're winning 35 games,
there's no path forward.
If you don't, but I just think you don't.
It is amazing. Like, that's like, the Grizzlies are not going to win a lot of games next year, but Grizzlies are fun. They have a plan. They have a vision. There's a way forward. Charlotte right now, there's no way forward. You let him walk, and why the hell didn't you trade him at the deadline? Yeah.
Charlotte is the worst situation in the league right now. They're not necessarily the worst team next season.
Right.
Although if Kemba Walker leaves, they might be the worst team next season. But they're the worst situation. If you just go front to top to bottom, like, you know, ESPN does this thing they call future power rankings, where they do like who's the best team over the next three seasons, or they do sort of that general trajectory health of franchise kind of thing. I think Charlotte's 30th on that right now.
If Kemba leaves, you mentioned Celtics as a possibility. That's certainly one.
Right.
Lakers, I believe, are a possibility. That's another. And the Mavs are an interesting possibility as well. You want them to go to the Celts because of the East. But in terms of those three teams, beyond your personal rooting interest, what makes sense there?
Well, the Mavs and the Celtics are sort of interesting sort of doppelgangers, you know, East-West, because they both have a theoretical need at point guard and a theoretical need at center, and they probably can't fill both to a significant degree. And so what's your choice, right? With Boston, you could say, well, you've got Terry Rozier as a restricted free agent. You re-sign Terry Rozier. Like, your bigger needs at center were Al Horford's walking away, and you just traded Aaron Baines, and you have literally nothing. And so you would say, well, your bigger needs at center, except centers aren't as important in the NBA now, and Kemba Walker may be the best player you get. So you just go get the best player, and you just go cheat, you know, some stopgap bargain center. If you're the Mavs, I don't quite understand the idea that the Mavs want to spend a lot of money on a center. I feel like Kristaps Porzingis should be a center. And so if I'm the Mavs, I'm definitely prioritizing that. And so I think with both those teams, you make Kemba Walker the priority. And if you don't get him, then you're sort of fall into a positional question of, like, what you really want to do. And the other thing that's out there is the Al Horford stuff, which, you know, there's been these reports that Al Horford has a four-year contract, you know, from somebody ready to sign, and no one can figure out who that is. Everyone thought it was the Mavs, but Mark Stein has reported that the Mavs would not offer him that contract. And so, you know, who knows where Al Horford's going to land.
If you're Brooklyn, do you want the Kyrie-KD combination only if you can get the combination, or do you also want Kyrie if it's just Kyrie and KD stays in Golden State?
That's a tough call. Zach Lowe wrote a lot about that this week and sort of went into the detail, and he said he talked to 30 different front office people. And the sense that he got was that Kyrie Irving, the consensus around the league is Kyrie Irving is enough better than D'Angelo Russell to warrant the questions about his personality and the increase. Because a max for Kyrie Irving is larger than a max for D'Angelo Russell because of their time spent in the league. And so the question he posed to people around the league was, yeah, you'd rather have, you know, Kyrie Irving than D'Angelo Russell, but would you rather have Kyrie Irving for $8 million more than D'Angelo Russell and then without Kevin Durant? And, like, all this stuff, right?
Right.
And the answer was still, well, yeah, Kyrie Irving. Because in a sense, he just raises your ceiling more than D'Angelo Russell does. And I think that's probably right. Although I have a little more trepidation,
yep,
about it than maybe the average NBA executive out there.
The other thing with KD is, and this is something they talked about on their podcast last night, Woj and Zach Lowe was KD's interesting. If you think that the whole motivation behind KD's next move is sort of narrative related and reputational related, and rather than wanting to be somewhere where it's warm or cold or where there's lots of corporate possibilities, if it's just reputation related, the argument is that because he got hurt the way he did, because he decided to play, because he's going to sit out a year, but all of that, he can now in fact stay in Golden State and be a conquering hero who sacrificed his body and is an underdog. And he doesn't have to leave Golden State to establish himself as what he wants to be. In fact, the best course is now to stay at Golden State. What do you make of all that?
Well, the interesting scenario is the one that Brian Windhorst floated last week, which was the idea that Golden State would offer him the five-year full max, supermax, whatever, which no one else can offer him, and would essentially agree, you know, with an understanding of a year from now, if you want to get traded, we will trade you. The idea of, we threw you out there when you weren't healthy, and we injured you, basically. We're going to pay for your rehab all this season on a max contract. We're going to guarantee you 5 years. Your max money is fully guaranteed, but a year from now, we'll reevaluate the situation. If you still want to go to New York, we will trade you to New York. I think I don't know if they're willing to do that. That's, you know, Windhorst floated that. It's like something that maybe. If that were the case, I think I'd have a hard time if I'm Kevin Durant not doing that. And not with the notion of I'm definitely going to New York a year from now, but I can reevaluate. And if I want to go to New York, they will send me to New York. And if I don't, I can stay in Golden State. And either way, I've got the full 5 years. I guess maybe the question is, do you want to be rehabbing your injury with the team that, you know, sent you out there to play when you were hurt?
Well, and also, isn't the other question there is, do you want to strip mine the team of assets that you're going to play for when your whole goal is to burnish your reputation?
Well, I think the understanding is, like, we will just trade you to New York and we're not going to demand a king's ransom. And so New York would have to keep their powder dry free agency-wise to have the space to absorb it. But I think the idea is that it would essentially be free agency. They would just
They're not asking for a Pelicans-type package.
They're not going to demand R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson and whatever. That was the implication.
Okay. I saw you commented on this on Twitter today. I got the news from Tony Jr. last night that his father, Tony Barone Sr., had died. You said you'd actually been talking about Sr. and for some reason connected with the draft recently.
Yeah, I hated seeing that. I don't really do Facebook much anymore, and so I didn't see that until I saw your column this morning. I did reach out to Tony Jr., who, you know, I know, and extend my condolences and exchange a message with him. But yeah, at the NBA draft last week, you know, late in the night when we were just waiting for Zach Kleiman to show up, me and Peter Edmiston and a couple of newer members of the people who weren't around for Tony Senior's years were shooting hoops on the practice court. And I sort of remembered and recounted to them, they used to do a media game at the end of each season, right? That all the Memphis, all the media who covered the Grizzlies was invited to play a game out on the FedEx Forum floor. And I did that a couple times. I retired before they retired the game.
Uh-huh.
But I did that a couple times, and I remember I was not in particularly good shape, and I was huffing and puffing. And I remember Tony Barone taking great joy and laughing at me while I was huffing and puffing. And then I don't have this anymore, but like after the game, Tony, he did a whole ceremony where he like gave out certificates to all these different people based on things they did in the game. I don't remember like what he called it, but he gave a certificate to me of like something that was related to like, you know, the guy who most needed a blow, basically.
Listen, there are things. This is back in the days when we used to try to, you know, analyze who was responsible for what good or bad deal. And so, whatever. He had a mixed record like so many personnel people. He didn't have much of a mixed record as a human, as far as I could tell. Everyone loved Tony Barone. He was a hard guy not to like.
Well, and my favorite Tony Senior moment, I did this on Twitter, but during the infamous Christian Laettner-Brian Davis press conference when they were supposed to get on the team.
Yeah.
So they do the press conference, and then for some reason we're walking from the press conference room to the practice floor. I don't remember what was going on. I guess Christian Laettner was going to get up shots or something. I don't remember what was going on. But for some reason everyone was walking from one place to the other, and I was walking alongside Tony Senior, and he just leaned over to me and muttered under his breath, "Can you believe this bleep?" that's one of my favorite moments ever.
Oh, yeah, he was fun. English major from Duke. Chris, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Coming up next on The Six.
I think if Tiger doesn't win the British Open, the Open Championship, and if he's healthy, I think he's going to play here. I really do. That would be my guess as of today, because he'll play the British, then he'll play here, then he'll get a week. He'll get 2 weeks off, essentially, before he has to play the FedEx Cup playoffs.
In the playoffs.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Memphis Grizzlies have made their pick.
With the second pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Ja Morant from Murray State University.
He's the best passer in this draft, averages 10 assists a game. I think he's Patrick Mahomes. Pass with either hand, really creative. He just doesn't see angles. He creates them for himself.
Ja Morant is the guard of the future. The Memphis Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Outlaws and Renegades Tour.
And it's a great...
Starring Travis Tritt and the Charlie Daniels Band. With special guest, the Cadillac 3. Friday, June 28th, Bank Plus Amphitheater at Snowden Grove. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Presented by Live Nation.
Feel 100% naturel with today's Perks deal. $50 gift cards to Buff City Soap for only $35. Handcrafted quality soap doesn't have to be expensive or hard to find. Buff City Soap's products contain no detergents, preservatives, or animal products. Their soaps are stocked with ingredients such as gardenia petals, lemon zest, hemp seed oil, shea butter, charcoal, tea tree oil, and more. Even their body scrubs are squeaky clean with natural exfoliants like chopped lufabits, crushed walnut shells, and poppy seeds. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Your Mid-South Ford dealers present Lee Bryce live at the Memphis Botanic Gardens Saturday, August 24th.
There's a rumor going round about me.
See country artist Lee Bryce perform his biggest hits live.
I drive your truck.
Tickets are on sale now at 941thewolf.com or Ticketmaster.com. Lee Bryce, August 24th at the Memphis Botanic Garden, presented by your Mid-South Ford dealers.
Attention, if you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs greenlighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, personal Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and saved millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now, 800-501-7110. That's 800-501-7110. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-501-7110. That's 800-501-7110.
Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
Mario Giannotto, of course, is sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. You can also hear from 2 to 4 right here on 92.9 with Giannotto and Jeffrey. So, Mark, do you like the idea of, and we're going to get to all the golf columns that you've been writing lately, but do you like the idea of a midseason NBA tournament?
So, I read the story from Kevin Arnovitz, and so I'm unclear. What would be the point of the midseason tournament?
Well, I think it was something that...
Like, would it be like in minor league baseball when you win the first half of the season, you advance to the championship round no matter what you do the second? Like, would you get a playoff berth by winning the midseason tournament? Like,
no, I think you just get a trophy.
Yeah, so, like,
it needs to have something like Giannotto's saying, though.
Like, there needs to be some sort of...
A lottery pick. I've seen some people proposing that on Twitter. I've seen some people shooting it at us.
Yeah, there needs to be an incentive. It can't just be like that. It's not, you know, this isn't soccer where you just like, you know, you're winning the U.S. Open Cup or the FA Cup or whatever. There's got to be a real tangible reward for winning it. Because then what, honestly, if it's just a trophy, like if I'm Kawhi Leonard,
the best player's gonna sit out.
Yeah, no way you'd want to play. It'd be like it'll essentially turn into a G League showcase.
What if you put money on the line? You know, what if you like
now? Yes, if there's now, I could see if you put and it's it have to me it'd have to be a pretty hefty sum.
Well, NBA's been willing to put real hefty sums on the dunk contest. That's one of the things. That's why you can't get any of the top guys. So you're thinking all of a sudden they're going to be willing to put some huge amount, huge bounty.
Like a guy like LeBron or Kawhi, like what's an extra $1 million
exactly
to them?
And
like,
we're trying to get the best. You would want the best in that point.
Yeah.
To that point, I don't even know maybe the answer is maybe it's something to do with the playoffs later on that would give those players incentive to, hey, that helps my team, helps my chances to win a title. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the incentive. I don't know what it is, but like we said, that's something they have to be
figured
out.
Now, I do like
the shortening. You got beer, bud.
The play-in tournament. I think Bill Simmons is the guy who's been advocating that for years, and I think it's genius. It gives, like, if there was a play-in tournament, like, think about it from the Grizzlies' perspective going into this year. No matter how bad they're going to be, you'd still have this carrot at the end of the year. If you got hot,
right,
you could maybe get that eighth playoff spot.
Right.
And it would keep fan bases engaged the entire year. And I don't know if it would eliminate tanking, you know, altogether, but it would give teams an incentive not to just throw their chips in and try to just lose. It would, you'd want to be playing well at the end of the year because you'd have this tournament where you'd still be able to make the playoffs. And so it essentially, I guess you could argue it would diminish
the regular season.
Well, and yes, that's for sure. And it would diminish just getting a playoff spot, I think, little bit.
Yes. And I would be really upset if I was the eighth, you know, if I had the eighth best record, you know, in whatever conference, and, you know, I don't even know how that would work.
Well, to me, I think you would, if you are in that eighth spot, you maybe get, you know, you get all home games during it, you get some sort of, maybe you get a bye. I don't know, how many teams would it be in each how many teams would it be in each conference? I guess how many teams are in each conference? 16?
15, right?
15?
Yeah.
Yeah. So some people would have to get byes.
Yeah.
So if you're higher up, you'd get a bye. But I just think the benefit of keeping every NBA fan base engaged the entire year outweighs whatever detraction, you know, whatever you do diminishing the regular season. And it would be awesome to watch. It'd be a lot of fun to watch.
It would be. And honestly, like the regular season is already so diminished. You know, we already
the last 25 games, a lot of times you're like kind of, what if waiting for the playoffs?
What if that play-in, too, is for the scrub teams, and during that time you have your all-star festivities for the big boys, who probably ain't going to want to play anyway, right? I don't know. What if you did that all same time? You'd keep them in. That gives the scrub team something to play for, like you said, And then I mean, the guys who aren't going to be in this thing, like we said, what's going to be the real reason? You're going to give them enough money? No, probably not. You know, once they would sit in for them to play individually, why not save their bodies or make that the all-star for the big boy squads? Ones everybody wants to see anyway, because there's very few all-stars on these scrub teams.
I am glad reading that story that they are discussing shortening the regular season.
Yes.
If they need to find a revenue, it sounds like they're going to need to find, if they're going to shorten the regular season, they need to find a revenue stream to replace the lost games. And this play-in tournament, whatever Absolutely. It is, could help offset that. And if we can get down to 70 NBA games or 65, 70, like I think that's the golden zone right there in terms of making sure these stars are playing all the time, mm-hmm. but also making sure it's reasonable for them to play
yes,
all the time.
Absolutely. All right, so you have a column up today at commercialappeal.com about Tiger Woods and if he will be at the WGC event here in Memphis. Now, Jason and I are broadcasting live from this event, so we would really like him to play. And we're hoping that is the ultimate, you know, that tips the scales in the end, knowing that we will be out there.
I think that definitely, when I in that column, I go, why he might play, why he might not, that's a why he might play.
I know conflict of interest, maybe, like you didn't want to look like you were in the tank for 92.9, you know, like I understand, like you're trying to, you know, dance that line.
Well, the reason I did the column is because over the weekend, I heard a rumor going around that he's lining up a house.
Yes.
In Southwind, and in that development to stay at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I called ESPN senior golf writer Bob Herrig and I mentioned that to him, he said that's a good sign. He said that means he definitely hasn't ruled out coming here, and he's definitely considering it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but then he brought up apparently in May in Charlotte at Quail Hollow, everyone just thought he was coming. He had lined up a house, rented it, done everything, and then didn't play.
Mm.
Like, Tiger's got that kind of money where he can just, you know, build in contingency plans, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would say, after kind of asking around and talking to Daryl Smith, the tournament director, and talking to Bob Herrig, who's, you know, he's been trying to figure out Tiger's schedule. You know, it's his job, essentially, to figure out Tiger's schedule because he, like, for instance, he's not going to come here to Memphis if Tiger's not playing. I think if Tiger doesn't win the British Open or the Open Championship, and if he's healthy, I think he's going to play here. Mm-hmm. I really do. Because I think that would be my guess as of today. Because he'll play the British, then he'll play here, then he'll get a week, he'll get 2 weeks off essentially before he has to play the FedEx Cup playoffs.
In the playoffs.
And if he really needs another week, he can miss the first FedEx Cup playoff event.
He's already qualified.
Yes. Although he probably can't win the FedEx Cup if he skips that first playoff event. But he played he essentially have to play five tournaments in 6 weeks, which is what he did at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And won the Tour Championship. And he's played far less events this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one concern is he's only played two events in a row one time this year. And it happened to be for a WGC event in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
But he got hurt when he played two events in a row. He hurt his neck, and so there's the plus and minus. But I think he likes playing these WGC events. There's more money. You're guaranteed to make the cut. There's more world ranking points at stake.
Right.
And so my gut tells me he's going to be here, but we're not going to know until a week before. Like Bob Herrig basically said, here's what's going to happen. He's going to have his press conference at the British Open on Tuesday. We're going to ask him. He's going to tell us, I'm not sure, even though he probably will know at that point. And then Wednesday, through his website, so essentially 8 days before the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, he'll announce, if he's going to play, that's when he'll announce he's going to play.
We were talking about this last week. I think if he comes off this long layoff, he misses the cut at British, I think it makes it even more likely he comes. What do you think about that? You think if he misses cut, it makes it less likely, more likely
I think
he comes?
The only
last time he had a long layoff, he missed cut.
I honestly think the only way he doesn't, like, non-injury.
See, I'm worried about him playing 4 days. You know what I mean? Even if he doesn't win it, if he's all the way till the end,
he'll have to announce the cutoff date to commit to tournaments is the Friday before the tournament starts. So we'll know before he and
my concern would be he'd pull out.
Yes. You know what I mean? That, I mean, that
if
could
he
happen.
Goes 4 days at the British, you know what I'm saying? That's my only
concern. My only concern is injury-wise. He's got that creaky back and, you know, his knees.
Kind of almost rooting for him to miss the cut. I might be off with that.
Well, because I think if he wins the British, that's where I could see him pulling out.
Oh, he's done if he wins it.
Because if he wins the British, then you've got all the media obligations, and you got to fly across the country from Northern Ireland.
What was it in your column or somebody else's? I saw Rory was like, if I win that thing, I'm going to be drunk something.
So Rory's from Ireland, Northern Ireland. So, like, if he wins, he basically said, I'm coming to Memphis unless I win the Open Championship, in which case I'll be too drunk to play in Memphis. Yeah. Although, I would say, come on over, Rory. We got plenty of bars here. You can keep partying here.
Everybody in Memphis plays golf drunk.
Yeah.
To that point, though, and I think you ended your column with this, and I agree, even with Rory and everybody else, if everybody else came, it's still different, right? It's not the same as if you don't want Tiger.
I mean, he's the biggest draw on tour still, and he's never played here.
Right, that's the thing.
I mean, I've covered events, you know, his event, Tiger's event, used to be in D.C., so I've covered, like, it's just different when you're at an event that he's at. Mm-hmm. I mean, the galleries for him, like, you think, like, the galleries for, like, Phil Mickelson were big at the FedEx St. Jude Classic the past 5-10 years. Like, it's a different animal when Tiger's out on the course. It's crazy.
If I was another golfer on tour, I would resent the hell out of that.
I don't know.
Especially a good one.
Yes and no. Yes, maybe you get a little jealous, but at the same time, the purses and prize money on the PGA Tour are so much higher now because of Tiger.
The game of golf.
Like, Tiger makes, even when Tiger was jerk Tiger 10 years ago, like, no one really resented him because he was getting them paid.
So they got to get over it.
Yeah. You know, and now he's nice Tiger, too. So, you know, he gets along with everyone. The one thing I'm concerned about long term is just the way this whole schedule, the PGA Tour's got it right now, how they have it right now, with this being the week after the Open Championship. It just, you'd think they would want, you know, this whole thing was because of FedEx, because FedEx pumps a ton of money into the PGA Tour. And to have this the week after the Open Championship, it's to Memphis's detriment. Like, if this was 2 weeks after the Open, there'd be no question Tiger would be coming. Like, he'd be coming for sure.
Right.
And next year, the schedule gets more complicated because of the Summer Olympics. And so, because, you know, and a lot of the world's best golfers are going to play in Tokyo. So, like, you're going to basically be asking the world's best golfers to go Open Championship and wherever in the United Kingdom, come to Memphis, then fly to Tokyo. Like, that's tough. Even if you're flying corporate jets, whatever, like, that's tough to ask guys to do that. And naturally, they're not going to skip a major. And if they want to represent their country in the Olympics, like, they're not, you know, it only happens once every 4 years. So what are you going to skip? You're going to maybe skip Memphis. Yeah. And it feels like they're neat. Now, I've heard from some tournament officials, like, this is not going to be the case every year. Like, this date, July 22nd through the 28th, is movable, and that it's not always going to be like this. Mm-hmm. But they haven't released the future schedules yet, so we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, I understand that the event is huge for Memphis. I get it. World golf rankings, all that stuff. But, like, just to the, I mean, Tiger being here, you know, it either takes the event to another level, or it lets air out of it. That was the big, to me, when we got this event, the biggest sort of nugget with it was Tiger. This means Tiger. Like, this is the only way you can do it, because he plays these events and it's top 50 and all that. And if you don't get Tiger, like, it to me, like, it just does let air out of it a little bit, you know?
How'd you hit it the other day? I saw you in your golf stuff. Saw you with the gloves in your back pocket. You looked like you were fresh off the
field. So I played the AutoZone Liberty Bowl charity event. I was not as good as Penny and Mike Miller.
Well, I didn't suspect you would.
No, I was okay. I was
better. Were you the best media guy out there?
I doubt it. Jessica Benson's pretty good from what
she
I understand.
She played high school, she was saying.
Yeah.
She played high school.
So, I was shocked that I was not the worst golfer in my group. There was actually someone, I don't want to name names.
Was it a media person?
No. It was me and Commercial Appeal executive editor Mark Russell and our managing editor Dan Miller and someone else. And I'll just say it was
You just identified him. Anybody that saw y'all out there.
Yes.
Yeah, you narrowed it down, man.
A real squirrel.
But I'm not going to say who it was.
He's a nice guy there.
I am confident in many things and when it comes
but
to...
But I was not good. Let me be clear. We went through my round on Giannotto and Jeffrey that day, and Jeffrey was mocking me for how terrible
Well, he's
I
like played. A damn scratch
but
ball.
He went to MUS.
But, yeah. but I was... I played better than I... Like, they actually used some of my shots in the scramble, which I was...
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's better so than I was, done.
I was okay with I was happy with how I did.
I think I'm the worst golfer in Memphis. I really believe that.
Well, it's a competition between
yes,
us.
Yes, me and Jay. I really
that's
believe
why,
this.
That's why we don't get invited to these yes. things. They know it'd be a I clown
think,
show.
I think me and Jason are the worst golfers in Memphis. Like adult
but
men.
But then I watch Barkley swing and he's doing these things. It's embarrassing. I don't get out there because I'd miss the ball. I'd be embarrassed. He does it and he doesn't care.
Here's what I'll say. There's a lot of bad golfers. I don't think you'd
I don't
want to
hold people up.
Well, that's the beauty of a scramble event is that you hit a bad shot and you just pick it up and you use as long as someone's good in your group or one or two people are good in your group.
That would be my way to go.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel, you know, to me, you want to be out there just
to
have fun.
Take this shot for me, Penny. You know, you got this one.
For every, you know, just every time you have a bad shot, just have a drink and it'll be fun by the 12th, 13th hole.
I don't know.
I played golf last summer. I played around.
Took you like 10 hours.
Bro, it took me 3.5 hours to play 9.
Oh, my. That's long. Oh,
3.5 to play 9. And then we were like, you want to try?
This is too much.
My buddy was like, do you want to try to do this?
What course?
This was River Bend Links.
What the hell was a holdup that's usually open
River
out
River Bend Links in Tunica. It was. That was. We were the holdup. We couldn't find our ball.
I would honestly recommend. Audubon is like a great beginner's course. I like playing that course. It's hard to lose balls, even though I did lose one when I played last week. See, my problem is I don't really like golf that much. My wife loves playing, and so I play with her a lot.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
You and your wife
that's a nice thing.
She's like, well, and she's like, together. She's pretty good. That's yeah, good. And she's, well, she, like,
does she talk trash to you?
No, not really, because she's not that good. Like, she just enjoys it. Like, her family plays golf, so I basically had to get into it because...
To win her over.
Her family was into it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like next week I go up to northern Wisconsin. They have a family reunion there every year that I have to go to.
Going to be a little golfing in that thing.
And every year I have to play golf.
Oh, yeah.
That you're happy to go to.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. If Lindsay's listening, I love it up there, you know, surrounded by 50 Pettersons.
John Morant the other day asking for food choices. If you were giving John Morant advice on what he should go get, what would it be?
Ooh.
Your first one.
Ooh.
You're trying to win him over and keep him here forever.
So the place I really love is Las Delicias. I love Las Delicias. Mm-hmm. I love the guacamole there, and I like the fajitas there. Las Tortugas is really good, too, if you're looking for Mexican. It's a little pricey if for what you get,
Mexican,
but it's really
mess
good.
Up your stomach. You got a cauldron down there or something?
No, I like Mexican. I'm Italian, you know. Steel I like Italian food. I wish there was.
Your stomach's a steel pot.
Yeah, exactly. Like we, instead of vegetables, we eat penne, you know. Like so, but no, I wish there was better Italian in Memphis.
That's all I'm gonna ask. What is the best Italian then? Because no,
Andrew Michael is really good.
Okay, that's what I've heard.
But it's not like that's not traditional Italian food, I would say.
Josh used to tear up some Carrabba's. That's generic Italian,
yeah, that's
right?
Like, oh, yeah, that's Carrabba's is a chain.
I understand
chain-y.
That, bro.
I mean, honestly, it's like basically the equivalent of Olive Garden. It's a little bit better
honestly,
than Olive
it's
Garden.
It's spaghetti
with ketchup on it?
It's embarrassing that Josh admitted to you that was his favorite Italian restaurant.
Dude, he would kill it. I mean, we ate with him one time, and he's out of there before the bills even paid. I mean, he loved Carrabba's, his favorite place.
I haven't been to, Pete and Sam's?
Yeah.
I haven't been there, but, like, Calkins, it's always trashing Pete.
He doesn't like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how much are you going to miss UConn?
I do think in the next couple years it was going to get interesting with Danny Hurley there. I don't know. I'm interested to see what they decide to do. It sounds like they're going to stand pat with 11.
Yep.
I mean, let's be real. It makes the basketball less interesting, I would say. Like, when UConn came to town, even in their diminished state, it perked your eye, you know, your ears up
and
a little bit.
And also, thank God they got Wichita State.
Yes.
Because if you didn't have them now, it'd be even worse.
Yes.
With UConn leaving.
But I don't think the league's going to miss them that much. You know, I think ultimately—
Certainly not in football, obviously.
If Memphis does what we think they're going to do in basketball, if Cincinnati— stays at the, you know, at or near the level they were under Mick Cronin going forward, and Wichita State is, you know, bounces back to where they were the past 5 years. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty good upper echelon. And then you got, if Kelvin Sampson remains at Houston, those are five teams that you can really, you know, bank on every year. And then if one or two of the others has a good year every year, then that's still a really strong league.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow morning, beginning at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They are a local, family-owned and operated business that's been serving the Mid-South residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010, and they're known as the home of the free roof. They work with all insurance companies, and if you qualify for a new roof, you can get one with no out-of-pocket cost. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. By the way, Danny's looking to hire an additional salesperson, so if you're interested, give him a call. And if you want a free roofing inspection, again, just call 870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. Tell him Gary Parrish told you to call.
Saturday, July 13th, Duncan Williams Investment Bankers presents the Doobie Brothers live at the Garden. Don't miss this fantastic summer show at the Memphis Botanic Garden. We're talking about the time of road. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. For more info, visit liveatthegarden.com. Also presented by FedEx, True Green, Infinity of Memphis, Regions Bank, Radiance, Pro Show, Mahaffey, and PDR.
Somebody's gonna get beat up. Someone's getting knocked out.
Yep, The Fitz has given the people what they want. And what the people want is a night of great boxing. Fights at Fitz return Saturday, June 29th with another round of meet and beat. 12 fighters just a-cruising for a-bruising, aching for a-breaking, lusting for a-busting. What better way to spend Saturday night? Tickets start at just $30. Talk about bang for your buck, people. Get your tickets at the Fitz or through Ticketmaster. And if your adrenaline's pumping too much for you to go home, well, don't go home. Get a deluxe room and two reserved seats to the fights for just $189. Book it at 1-662-363-LUCK and ask for the Fights at Fitz package. So, what do you say? See you for Fights at Fitz Saturday, June 29th at 7:30 at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
When you compare the Humana Gold Plus HMO plan with other plans, there's no comparison. That's because it's Tennessee's only 5 out of 5-star CMS-rated Medicare Advantage HMO plan. The only one. No other Medicare Advantage HMO plan in Tennessee received excellent ratings from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in all 5 categories, including managing chronic conditions, helping members stay healthy, and providing a great member experience. And there's no need to wait. You can switch out of your current plan and enroll in the Humana Gold Plus HMO H4661 anytime you want. Like right now, for instance. Find out why this Humana plan has no comparison. And make the switch by calling a licensed Humana sales agent at 1-800-526-5339 or visiting Humana.com. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO organization with a Medicare contract. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Landers Auto Sales. They got a large inventory, over 300 vehicles to choose from, like the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, which is exactly what I'm in right now. I love that vehicle. You'll love it, too. They got more of them out there on the lot. They got lots of goals at Landers, but their number one goal is simple, and that is to ensure their customers are totally satisfied. So get down there and let them show you how they make it happen. Go visit them, Goodman Road in South Haven, or on the web, LandersMemphis.com. Landers Auto Sales. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much.
It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale, and we're celebrating with our free event. Get free bed accessories like a free adjustable bed base, 2 free memory foam pillows, and a free mattress protector when you take home your new bed for just $7.99. That's a value of over $850, absolutely free. And on top of that, you can save up to $400 on the best mattress brands store-wide. Hurry in, your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
I've told you about the Oak Hall employee who was a banker and the Oak Hall employee who was a music minister. Now I want to tell you about Will Vestal, the Oak Hall employee who was a ski bum. Will graduated from MUS and the University of Tennessee. Then he went to work on a ski resort. He came back to Memphis in 2008, which, as you may recall, was not a great time to get a gig. He happened to get a job at O'Call. He was just going to help out for a little bit. But here's the thing about O'Call. The place has a way of getting into your blood. That's true for the people who shop there and the people who work there, too. 11 years later, Will is still helping Memphians find the perfect clothes for them. He likes his colleagues and he likes his customers. He likes the fact that people walk out of the store feeling better than they felt when they walked in. As he told me, in a traditional office setting, I might not stay, but at O'Call, I'm given the freedom to be myself. That's how O'Call has prospered since 1869. It's not a cookie-cutter place. It treats everyone like an individual. So go see Will at O'Call. He'll help you find whatever it is that you need to be your best self. Well, except the skis.
This holiday weekend, pack up the grill and put out your sparklers. This is one celebration you don't want to miss. Hurry into the Nissan July 4th sales event and save big on our tech-filled lineup, including Rogue, winner of the Consumer Guide Best Buy Award, Armada, Kelley Blue Book's lowest five-year cost-to-own full-size SUV crossover, and Altima, an IIHS top safety pick. For a limited time, save up to $1,500 holiday bonus cash on top of existing offers on select models. Don't miss out. Like this holiday weekend, the Nissan July 4th sales event ends soon. Shop ChooseNissan.com and your local Nissan store today. For well-qualified buyers, $1,500 holiday bonus cash available on the 2019 Nissan Titan and 2019 Nissan Titan XD. Available on lease and purchase. Must take delivery from new dealer stock. Subject to residency restrictions. For more award information, visit KBB.com, IIHS.org, and ConsumerGuide.com. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer information.